The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, entering into mindfulness, relaxing, opening. What is this? What are we entering into? We know what our default program is. We know what our mind is. It wants this. It doesn't want that. It's worried about this. It thinks about perhaps old stories of the family, new stories of what's going on in one's daily life, problems, solutions, hopes, fears. We know what that is. That's me. That's the story of me. But what is this other mind, the mind that is aware? There have been some scientific studies about this mind. A lot of it's going on right now. The mind of mindfulness. It's been shown that the brain changes when there's mindfulness. That the part of the brain that is the amygdala, the activity there slows way down, and the frontal brain activity speeds up. But then in monks who've been practicing for many, many years, that's just a temporary phenomenon, and then it just kind of settles into this harmonious binaural beats throughout the brain. It's also been shown through studies that people who meditate, who are mindful, are much more resilient. We recover more quickly from our issues, our problems. I think we see that the thinking mind, where it's going, is not the end of the world. It's just a ongoing phenomenon. That we see from a much bigger palette. The bigger palette includes sounds and sights and smells and tastes and touches and light, space, some sense of infinity. The body, the breath, feelings, and the stories. So it's more perspective on what the stories are. And that the stories aren't the end of the world, and the stories can pass, and that there are spaces. The story stops and it starts and there stops and then it starts and then it comes to an end and something else takes its place. So that's how mindfulness works. And we can appreciate it. We can sense it. But to really step into it, we don't know what it is. It's an act of faith. to let mindfulness sweep over us and around us and through us is an act of faith. It's an act of selflessness. It's entering into, you could say, divinity or infinity or the realm of not self, because it's not me. It includes all of us and all of everything. So it's a leap of faith to be mindful. And we're taught skills about how to maintain this, how to continue this, how to apply effort, apply some energy to keep concentrated, to relax, to open, to stay with. But it is an act of faith, and sometimes the stories overwhelm and we get discouraged and we think this is, first of all, we just have no idea what it is, and it's just, why should I do that? But we've got a taste of this divinity and we keep coming back to it because nothing satisfies like this. There's this, the hope of a happy ending with a story, and that's kind of exciting, but it doesn't really satisfy. There have been a lot of studies lately as well on experiences that people have after they die. And the research has spanned many different cultures and different ages, even down to 3 years old. And I don't know if this is relevant, but it's interesting to me, relevant to your practice. There are 33 characteristics that have been, that are consistent about what happens to people after they die. And just to name something, just a few, there's this experience of simultaneity of all time, space, everything is all at once, and it's a huge experience that is full of the most incredible well-being, love, bliss, wisdom, knowing, light. And this resonates with me, and that's, I think, why it's relevant to my practice, is it resonates with me because I think we kind of touch on that, and whatever that is. I don't know what that is. It could be the brain. It could be something that really is transcendent. But I think we do experience the deathless. We feel relief from the conditioned by dipping into, entering the unconditioned. We feel relief from our suffering. By holding it in a bigger context. And when we hold it in this bigger context, something new emerges that we can be confident in. We can be confident in this universal experience, this experience that includes everything. And we can then start to make choices, nudge this conditioned mind into areas that are more skillful. By experiencing the unconditioned, we deconstruct ourself. The self comes and goes, and we see it, and it, the stories come and go, and there are spaces in between, and it just kind of gets deconstructed, and it doesn't seem like it is the end of the world. And that's helpful, the deconstruction. But we can also construct. We can feel the nobility of our experience. We can feel the great value, the worthiness of our infinity, of our divinity. And we can begin to encourage ourselves at least to act and speak and even think in a way that is harmonious with this understanding. Why would I say something judgmental of you? Because, you know, you're me. Why would I hurt you? You're me. Why would I steal from you? You're me. Why would I take advantage of you sexually? Or why would I cloud this wonderful awareness with intoxication? So we can nudge our activity and our thinking in ethical directions, in generous directions, realizing the mutuality of all of us. It's a natural impulse to want to give, to want to help. So we can work on constructing our thoughts, actions, speech in a way that is creates less trouble for ourselves, that leaves us more open, more disentangled, more free. And I encourage myself to do this, to remind myself, I am worthy. Is this action worthy of me? Is this thought worthy of me? I'm kind. I'm noble. You are kind. You are noble. You are good. And the last thing that I want to say is often none of this works. We'll find ourselves caught up, going for this, not wanting that. Completely enmeshed and feeling like this is the end of the world. So, the first paramita is called the supreme paramita, and that is patience. We just patiently keep observing dharmas moment after moment, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year, patiently observing dharmas. without any expectation of gain. We take care of Buddha, and we let Buddha take care of us. We can't destroy the self by another self. That's ridiculous, right? But by continuing patiently being mindful, as much as we're willing, we can't push it too much or we'll tear ourselves to bits. But just as much as we're willing, and maybe eventually this mindfulness practice will cover our entire life. And it takes many, many years. And we let deathlessness destroy ourself, reduce the urgency of the self. There's a little line from F. Scott Fitzgerald. It's on his tomb. It's the last line from The Great Gatsby. It says, So we beat on. Boats against the current. Borne back ceaselessly into time past. And I would add, we're being borne back ceaselessly by our programmed mind, ceaselessly into the past and into the future. But we beat on against the current. Beat on isn't necessarily the way I would put it, but more like just relax. Establish mindfulness and enter. Okay? Thank you.